Are we back on? I see nothing but a blue screen.
Not quite.
Closer, closer, we're getting there.
We're back in session.
Okay, we're back in session. We don't have the right pictures, but we'll solve that in a minute. So, while I never support people disrupting our democratic process or taking the microphone away from other people who have a right to those microphones as well, this is an important issue. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and I think it is important that I address some of these issues. So I want to give you the latest information. But before I do that, I also want to tell you what my role is and what the city's role is in this process. Because a state of emergency has been declared around COVID-19, what happens is the city then becomes part of what's called an ICS structure, an incident command system structure. And this would be the case if we had an earthquake, if we had a weather event, if we had some sort of a man-made situation, we would go into an ICS command mode. The reason for that is to make sure that every jurisdiction understands what they are doing and communicating effectively and getting the right information and the same information at the same time, and then able to communicate to the public consistent messages based on the most recent information. So this is not an opportunity for entrepreneurship, bird dogging, grabbing the microphone and talking about what we think is happening. In this case, COVID-19 is a public health threat, and therefore the leadership is coming in this order from the Oregon Health Authority and the governor at the top of the food chain. Next comes county governments, because county governments under state law are given the authority for public health. Here in our county, in the metro area, we have chosen to have a tri-county health officer. That's Dr. Vines. We, at the local level, have the Office of Emergency Management and our first responders, some of whom are here in the room. They connect into this ICS structure through the county. In fact, right now at 10 o'clock is the time they all meet. They've been meeting regularly. They've been having calls. I have personally been engaged. I spoke to the governor just this morning to get the latest from her perspective. It's a fast-evolving situation. Here's what we know right now. The Oregon Health Authority yesterday announced the first presumptive case of COVID-19 in a Multnomah County residence. And it happens that cases are counted by county of residence, not necessarily where somebody is hospitalized. The new case brings Oregon's total to 15 cases in 7 counties. The Multnomah County Communicable Disease Team is working to identify and isolate anyone who may have been in close contact with this individual in the last 14 days. The person is being treated at Portland Veterans Affairs Medical Center. The individual has no known contact with a confirmed case. The individual has not traveled. So the case is being investigated as a community-acquired case. Here's what we're doing. Portland is coordinating directly with Multnomah County Public Health in an unprecedented collaboration to respond specifically to COVID-19, including embedding several city staff members at the County Emergency Operations Center, which is live. Portland's Emergency Coordination Center is at partial activation as of this morning to support the city's response to this incident. A city coordination team has been established and is meeting daily to ensure a consistent, structured approach to our response. City leaders have been meeting with labor leaders internally to ensure questions are being answered by and that our employees are in the best situation possible to continue operations during this emergency. We're encouraging city employees at higher risk of severe illness to telework if their job allows and stay home if they have any symptoms consistent with COVID-19. We're encouraging city bureaus to limit large gatherings that could pose a risk for transmitting COVID-19. We're placing seven portable toilets and hand washing stations in the community. Details will be forthcoming. We're following public health advice to look out for the people who are most vulnerable to complications from COVID-19. That is, according to health authorities, anyone who is 60 or older with a serious health condition, including lung or heart problems, kidney disease, diabetes, or anyone who has a suppressed immune system.
Anyone who is vulnerable should follow the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention current recommendations, which are to stay home as much as possible, avoid gatherings. Public health is telling us to expect more cases as testing becomes more available and the results come in. Clackamas and Washington counties and the state of Oregon have now all declared a state of emergency to help support the public response. With regard to the homeless population is a highly vulnerable population. Even younger individuals who are homeless are at greater risk of having or contracting COVID-19 because they tend to be a population with coexisting health conditions. All of the shelter, well, first of all, the emergency shelter, the winter emergency shelters are going to remain open regardless of weather. Within all of our shelters, they are following specific protocols to keep people at appropriate distance so that they do not come into contact with each other or at least minimize the risk of COVID-19. Those within the shelters who are highly at risk to COVID-19, so older individuals, people who have pre-existing health conditions, will be moved out of the shelters and into motels and other locations for their health, safety and protection, and the protection of others. This situation will change on a daily, if not hourly, basis going forward. The unified source of information, place where people can go for information, is the Multnomah County website. It is being regularly updated based on information received from public health authorities. So that is the best information that I have right now.
Mayor?
Commissioner Udaly.
I just want to add a couple things. I just want to confirm, first of all, that PBOT issued the permits today for the 7 hand washing stations and 7 portable toilets with hand washing stations. That they'll be distributed in 14 locations across the city. I spoke to Senator Wyden this weekend about a bill that he and Senator Merkley crafted and passed in the Senate. It's an $8.4 billion aid bill to help combat the virus.
Thank you.
And I think I'm forgetting something, but I'll leave it.
Well, Nurse Fritz just reminded me, I forgot part of the talking points. Wash your hands. This is from the CDC. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth from unwashed hands. Cover your mouth and nose when you cough or sneeze. Stay home if you feel ill. And stay informed. You can go to Multnomah County. You can go to the Oregon Health Authority, has a specific COVID-19 fact page, which is being updated daily at the federal level. The Center for Disease Control also has a COVID-19 webpage, or read any publication or listen to any radio, because this is all anybody is talking about. So thank you for your patience and your forbearance. Commissioner
Fritz. I remember
Fritz.
The last thing that I wanted
Commissioner
to say.
Daly, then Commissioner
One is
Fritz.
That I'm supporting a moratorium on evictions during this crisis. I am pursuing the possibility of a rent freeze during this crisis. And I want to note that Italy just told the whole country that mortgage payments will be suspended during the outbreak. So while I'm very deeply concerned about public health, I'm also incredibly concerned about the economic impact to our local economy, and especially to residents who can't sustain the loss of a single paycheck.
Yeah, good. Commissioner Fritz.
And on behalf of the Office of Equity and Human Rights, I need to state that no particular ethnicity or race is more susceptible to COVID-19 than another. We have been experiencing increased instances of hate crimes against certain folks here in Portland, and that is utterly unfounded. And just bear in mind that everybody's vulnerable, that there are people who are more vulnerable than others, and it's up to those of us who do not consider ourselves vulnerable to take these precautions as well, so that we protect everybody else, and also that we be mindful of being especially kind to each other in this particularly challenging time.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you so much. I agree with everything that my colleagues said. I really appreciate the mayor just making time to have this conversation because, quite frankly, this is a topic that's on everybody's mind. And I want to remind folks that first responders are taking additional precautions because one of the first cases where there's a presumptive positive are with AMR workers, and so we just don't know what we don't know yet. And I also want to caution on any kind of rent freezes or things like that, because I mean, we have restaurants who can't stay open because they can't pay their workers. So we have small businesses that will close down. We have mortgage payments, and so as a council, we've had no conversation about limiting. Trying to mandate anything yet, so I don't want people getting out of control about what we will do and won't do. I think we have to look at the whole picture and who's being impacted most severely and come up with the best policies that we can. I appreciate that we're starting to have the conversation, but I want to be clear. I've made no decisions about any kind of policy decisions as of yet, because as the mayor says, this is changing by the moment, by the hour, by the day. So,
very good. Thank you all. Hopefully that's helpful. Call the roll on 199, please.
Fritz. So obviously we do have an all hands on deck on this issue and also on open and accountable elections. And first of all, thank you very much to Director Susan Mate and Daniel Luca, her assistant director, for their outstanding work on this project. I'm really excited how it's going and how many candidates are using it, that the candidates are using it appropriately and with this funding. And I thank each one of my colleagues for agreeing to this funding. With this funding, we will enable the special election to move forward with the program as well. As a reminder, the open elections program gets about $1.3 million in ongoing funding each year, since there's only an election every 2 years and there's a small amount of that money goes for staff time, but there's usually up to $1 million for each race. So this is a smaller allocation, and there will likely be a lower cap. And it's appropriate to do that given that there's a shorter time frame, so staff and other expenses would be lower for the special election. So I'm very excited to continue taking all of these step-by-step approaches to make sure that this program is successful in its first run through. Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I'm grateful for the work that Commissioner Fritz has done to champion public election financing and the work Director Mote has done to successfully implement open and accountable elections on a compressed timeline. I have been and remain a strong advocate for fully funding this program. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I'm sorry we have to take this vote because I wish, frankly, Nick were still here, and I know everybody else does too. That being said, it's very important that we put all of our elections on equal footing with each other. It would not make sense to have the open accountable elections process for some of the offices and not for others. That wouldn't sit well with me or anybody else. So I'm happy to support this. I thank you for bringing it, Commissioner Fritz. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.